Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew in the 23rd chapter, starting in the 13th verse for the sermon title, Another Coat of Paint. Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 28. Jesus speaking. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you will make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools! Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men! Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, who look beautiful on the outside, are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. May God add his blessings to these words as we seek him in prayer. Father, let the words that I put forth be true from you. The thoughts that you have given me, let them be for us. The reminders, the guidance, the gentle and somewhat not gentle nudging back onto the correct path we seek, Father. We ask that you lift us up and bind us through the words that you have given today, and that we go from here learning, growing, and knowing. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all of his children said, Amen. Now I know this story is a head scratcher, but it is what it is. You see, a man came upon a piece of property that was extremely cheap. And he thought, I'll buy this piece of property and keep it for myself. And so he did. And it had a large, huge backyard. It had a nice house. But the view from the backyard was ugly and decaying. And so the man thought, I will put up a fence all around my backyard so I don't have to look at the ugly and the decay, and whatever goes on out there is whatever will go on out there, and I will protect myself from it. and I will think nothing of the outside world. And so he decided to put up the fence, and he showed it to his friends. His friends came over to see the large fence built. And he had whitewashed it. He had painted the fence so that it would shine, and he had planted flowers along the bottom of it. And when friends came to call, he walked them out in the backyard where the grass was green and everything was beautiful. And he said, "You see my wonderful fence? You see my beautiful backyard? In the midst of all this turmoil, I have this place." The friends oohed and ahed and nodded and talked about how great it was. And every so often, the man would put another coat of paint on the fence because it would need it. And he continued to care for it, caring not for what was outside of it. Years passed. After many coating and coating and coating, he was on his way out to paint again when he tripped getting near the fence. And the bucket left his hand, the bucket of paint, and traveled to the fence, crashed into it, and went through it, leaving a rather large hole in this man's pride and joy, his fence. He was distraught. He was broken. He did not understand. And as he got to the fence to examine it, he looked through the hole and began to discover something. That the world had changed. That the view was not ugly. That it had been cleaned. And that lushness had burst forth. And that things were happening that were good and wonderful to see. And he also discovered that because he cared not for what was outside of his fence, that it rotted until the only thing holding the fence up was another coat of paint. Another coat of paint. He had lost so much in seeing the world change from an ugly view to something beautiful. He could have been a part of it. And he lived like so many people in this world do. They just slap on another coat of paint. I don't need to change what's inside. I am a good person. I'll just keep looking good. I'll just keep putting it on. There is a group of people in every church, thankfully not this one, at least not the ones I know, but there are groups of people in church that go because, as I was told by John George, and I love this, I'm going to use it, it's a checkbox they check off on Sunday morning. Hey, I was in church today. Hey, I was there. People saw me. They saw the great me. I went to church. I'm showing everybody how great I am, how wonderful I am. Another coat of paint. I've got my church in me. I'm ready to go. And you ask them what the Bible says. I don't have time to be bothered with that. That's the preacher's job. That's the deacon's job. My job is to go there and put money in the plate. And believe it or not, there are a lot of Christians out there like that. And people rally around them because they talk highly. This scripture was tough to listen to. And unfortunately, a lot of times we brothers and sisters, we like to listen to the good stuff, don't we? You want to hear the good things. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know the rest. Everybody knows that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, that's good stuff. You know, Zacchaeus, come down because I'm going to your house to eat because I came to save the sinners. Yeah. We don't like to hear the other side of the fence. Woe to you, you blind guides, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you fools who walk around saying, not doing. If the outward shines, but the inward is dead, then we lead others astray. There are churches around this world. They call them Unitarian, Universalism. We don't have no doctrine. We don't have no particular guidance. We just kind of come in and we feel what's good. And if it upsets you, then we won't do it anymore. If I say to you, "Woe to you, you blind guides," and that offends you, and you come to me and you say, "Paul, I don't want you stepping on my toes anymore because you make me feel bad," well, then I won't do it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I won't do my job. And we become that word, don't we? That nasty, nasty word. The one that when you say it, kind of makes you do that thing, right? You become a hypocrite. Who said that? That's right, Don. You're welcome to come back now to church. You and me there, brother. We become that. When we keep slapping on another coat of paint and we don't pay attention to what's going on inside, we miss things. This man missed the world changing. I have heard all I want to hear. If one more, boy, I tell you, I am so sick of this rain. Shut up! Have you not looked around to what it means? I'm driving over here this morning, and do you see how lush and green and beautiful the world is right now? Do you know why that happens? I'll give you a little clue. It starts with rain. My daddy, granddaddy, and a bunch of them's all farmers. And you know what? One time, my grandfather Duty had to say, my mama's daddy said, "Why are you complaining when it's raining? As a farmer, you're making money. Have you seen the corn tearing up out of the ground that people got in early this year? Go on then. Makes me want to go back and get a dairy cow." No, it doesn't. I've lived that life. We become hypocrites. We walk around complaining, and we walk around putting on a, "I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this." And we don't look inside. Oh, no, wait a minute. This guy put a fence up because he didn't want the world to hurt him. He didn't want the world to be around him. He didn't want the world to steal his joy. I get that. But Jesus Christ kept no fences. He walked fully into the world, carrying his joy as he went. This is the message I have. He had pain too, because of those who wouldn't take it over. In case you haven't figured it out, the word hypocrite or hypocrisy. Boy, I wish, Greg, we have got to get me a sound effects machine. Because when I would say that, wouldn't it be cool when we say that nasty, nasty word, hypocrisy? I would love to hear in the background, dun, dun, dun. And I'm on a tear today because of something I read. And it hurts my heart that these people have people following them. Now, if you didn't catch it this week, I'm going to enlighten you. It put me on a kick today to remind you all, like I have to do to me, don't just paint the outside. Does anybody know how much $54 million is? Everybody say, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. When I have $54 in my wallet, I think I'm rich. I'm going to read these words to you. If Jesus, let me get in my voice. If Jesus was to descend from heaven and physically set foot on 21st century earth, oh, he would rather fly in his own private jet than to take a donkey and see the world. He'd be on an airplane preaching the gospel all over the world. And brothers and sisters, that's why I'm here today. We need to raise up that money. I need $54 million so that I may have my own private Learjet. Specifically, a Falcon 7X, which can fly all over the world without refueling. This nut, Jesse Duplantis, is telling his folks he needs a new jet. Now, I am not opposed to using mass travel. I'm not opposed to it. There's a time and place for it. Don't get me wrong. And if you truly have the kind of ministry where you got to go all over the world and you need to get there, then that might be the right tool. And it's wonderful. Maybe you might have to make a stop and put a little fuel in that thing. Jesse says, if I had that jet, I would never have to stop because I have my own fuel farm. Well, that's a problem right there. But if you've had 5 other jets prior to this one, you're putting on another coat of paint and you're not paying attention to the inside. There's a man named Billy Graham. Billy Graham have a jet? Does anybody know? No! Did he have a little old cabin down in North Carolina? Yes! Did he go all over the world and preach the gospel? You got it. Because you know why? Because when you're preaching the word, the people want you to preach the word, they'll come get you. And I know this. Because people come get me sometimes. And they scare me a little bit. Man, we heard what you had to say. You want to come preach revival for us? I'm a little afraid to go out and get live. Because I have to behave even more. But we'll get to that in a minute. This man wants a $54 million jet. And you know what, brothers and sisters? He ain't the only one. He said, we believe in God for a brand new Falcon 7X. So we can go anywhere in the world without one stop. Now, people say, can't you go on without one? He said, pointing to a picture of the current plane that he uses. Yes, but I can't go in it one stop. And if I can do it in one stop, I can fly it a lot cheaper because I have my own fuel farm. And that's what means a blessing of the Lord. Woe to you, you blind guides, you hypocrites. In 2015, televangelist Creflo Dollar put upon his people to get him a jet. He had to have a jet. He had to raise up all the money for the jet. The campaign was widely ridiculed, and Creflo never made it to the waiting list because there's billionaires in front of him, and he denounced his congregation for not believing in the blessings of the Lord. Kenneth Copeland, boy, you don't want to get me started on him. He's in a competition with Jesse Duplantis. See, Kenneth Copeland, he's got a Gulfstream 5. And if Jesse gets his Falcon 7X, Kenneth says, well, I've got to have one. Glory to God, he says. The Gulfstream 5 is in our hands when they bought it. And now it needs $3 million in upgrades, and he thinks his people ought to pay for it. After making that request, Copeland prayed on camera for God to bless the contributors. He and Duplantis defend their use of private jets in a YouTube video. And this is what they say. You ready? This is how we fall prey to blind guides. Listen, the world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this. Copeland said of private aircraft, we've got to have this. The mess that the airlines are today, I would have to stop, and I'm being very conservative, at least 70 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing is because we cannot get there from here. That's why we're on the airplane, he said, so we can talk to God. You can't manage that today. This dope-filled world, it's full of demons, and it's deadly, and men like us are targets. That's why we should fly private. What? I got a Ford truck out there in the parking lot, and I love my Ford truck. I'm not going to ask you guys to put a big turbo on it for me. It would be really cool if you did, but I'm not. I don't even know where to go with this. And so it aggravated me to the point where I got angrier. And I got madder, and I got angrier, and I said, Lord, and he didn't answer me. He just put a knot in my head and said, no, Paul, you cannot have a plane. I was just playing around. I didn't have to have you hit me like that. They finished up by saying, if you pray about it, I believe God will speak to you. See, these are these prosperity preachers who believe that if you pray that your house is falling down around you, that you should get a brand new Mercedes, and you pray hard enough, and you donate enough money to them, God's going to give you a Mercedes. That's a blind guide, and that's another coat of paint. And what's going on in the inside, these people have lost the true meaning of Jesus Christ. I would sooner drive around the country in that broken-down old Ford pickup truck, spreading the word, because if I have to stop for fuel somewhere, you don't know who's going to walk up to you and want to know about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's witnessing and bringing the gospel. Amen goes right there. Amen. And that's what we forget. And we get caught up in it ourselves. We put on another coat of paint sometimes. We start listening to dumb things. What did they just say? Are they not reading the same book? Go back to the scripture for a minute. Jesus is fired up. If you don't think Jesus Christ had a strong will and maybe the bottom edge of a temper and just a hair, a little bit of anger, righteous anger, then you need to go reread the scripture every day this week until you hear it the way I heard it. You go back in that scripture for a moment. Verse 16. He doesn't say, look, listen now, here's your problem. He doesn't talk like a father to his children at that moment. He sits them down and he says, woe to you, blind guides. I'm sorry, what? Woe to you, blind guides, looking right at them. Woe to you who would blindly lead people for your own self-worth. If you say, don't swear by the temple, but swear by the gold, and then you're bound to it if you do it, then everything's going to be all right, then you've forgotten. If you say, don't swear about the gift or swear about the altar, swear about everything else but that, then you've forgotten that the altar built is to praise and lift up Jesus Christ, and that gift laid on there is for Him. You have two plates up here. They're not ours. They're His. That's His desk. You understand? Down in verse, down a little further down there in verse 23, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You hypocrites. Everybody can do that little thing when you get called a hypocrite. But he's speaking directly to people like me. Yeah, preachers. Can preachers lead somebody astray? Oh, you bet they can. And I know them preachers are, man. Their heads get all swelled up because everybody coming out to church on Sunday morning, you did a wonderful job, loved the service, loved the thing, preacher. Wonderful, wonderful. I'm told about a story about one preacher that had somebody that would come out every Sunday morning. He would say to him, preacher, it was a little long this Sunday. Preacher, it was a little bit confusing this Sunday. Preacher, you should have made a little bit better point. Preacher, you didn't use the right scripture. I don't think your sermon fit. Well, everybody else is saying all this nice stuff. Finally, the preacher caught one of the deacons about this fellow. He says, why is that guy always got something bad to say? He says, oh, don't worry about him. He's a little bit off in the head. He just likes to repeat everything he heard everybody else say. I live in perpetual fear of the words that come out of my mouth, that they are for Jesus Christ, not for Paul Leatherman III. Because woe to me, a hypocrite. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices and your cumin and your fancy stuff, but you could care less about the soul of the man who has nothing to give. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, he writes again in verse 25, you hypocrites. This is the one right here. You clean the outside of the cup and put it away. I have children. I love my children. I have two sons. You know them, the twins, the twin towers of terror. I love them. They don't do dishes very well. I love this. This is the conversation that goes on. We have a dishwasher. They don't rinse the dishes before they put them in the dishwasher. Neither do I all the time. And when they hand wash the dishes, there comes my wife, the inspector. What? Who put this in the dish stringer? Look at this thing. It's full of dirt on the inside. Did you not wash the inside? Woe to you who would clean the outside of the cup and put it away dirty. You better start on the inside and work your way out. I had to teach them how to take a shower when they were a lot younger because they started at their feet and worked up. I said, what are you doing? I said, you start where the water hits you first and clean coming down. Why? Oh, my God. Lord, this is a test of my patience. And then comes the one that hurts the most. Verse 27. Woe to you, teachers of the laws and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And guess who else is teachers of the law? Any one of you all that speaks of Scripture to someone else and uses it as a hammer, as a judgment tool, welcome in, Pharisee. You hypocrite. You just paint another coat on the outside while the inside decays. How are we removed from that? His speeches made use of Christian vocabulary. He talked about the blessings of the Almighty and the Christian confessions, which would become the pillars of a new government. He assumed the earnestness of man weighed down by historic responsibility. He handed out pious stories to the press, especially to the church papers. People flocked to hear him speak. He showed his tattered Bible, held that thing up, and declared that he drew strength for his great work from it. And as scores of pious people welcomed him, they welcomed him as a man sent from God. What's that?
I don't know what pious
means. It means you're following the word. You're being humble. This is a great man. Thousands upon millions flocked to come near him and followed him unblinking. And Adolf Hitler led the world into some of the greatest destruction it's ever seen. Brothers and sisters, we have got to be on our guard all the time. I know the world is an ugly place and it's hard to view sometimes. See, I am flawed. Say amen if you're flawed.
Amen.
A little of you unsure? Let me give you a list. You see, I am me, Paul Letterman. I am short on patience. I am prone to have a quick temper. I am or have judged other people. I am very quick to offer up my opinion to people who don't need to hear it. One of my favorite statements is when somebody's trying to talk to me and just let it all out. And I'm real good at it now, but there was a time of day I'd say, well, let me tell you what I think. You don't want to hear what I think. You want to just dump it out. Now, if you want to hear what I think and you say, Paul, what do you think? Well, sit down. I have done things, said things, acted a certain way that would not exactly put you in mind. I am a God-fearing man. You know, a lot of people out there in the world today, to show their Christianity, have them bumper stickers. Real men love Jesus. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. You know how it works. They have that Christian on the back. You know, the Christian symbol in the back window. Go look at my vehicles. In the back of one of them, it says, a boy never forgets. First tractor he ever drove, or the first girl he ever kissed. What? And you don't see them on the back windows of my vehicles. Because I would not want people to think that there's a Christian driving that vehicle sometimes. I'm sorry, it's how I am. And guess what? Let me go down the list again. Everybody in this room is flawed. They may be a little short on patience from time to time. Some of you may be prone to a temper. Some of you have judged or are judging. Some of you offer your opinion when you need not to. Some of you have done things, said things, and acted in a certain way that would not exactly put you in mind as a God-fearing people. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, you got loud there, didn't you? Now, let me give you some hope. Everybody here agrees with that. See, we are all guilty on just putting on another coat of paint. But we are saved. We are saved. We are saved. Listen to this. John 14, 16th verse. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit and truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. Amen. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. You're saved. You're a flawed individual, and you're saved. And you know what that means? That means you get to see all your mistakes. Yay! The Lord Jesus Christ, because he saw fit to save us, also gave us the ability to look full front, dead steadfast at our painted fence, at our mistakes. Do you know why? So that we would try to not make them. I know who I am, and I know what I'm about. And the only way I get through every day and people around me don't want to drive me off a cliff is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. It's the same with you. Be careful. Don't put on a coat of paint. During one of his political campaigns, a delegation called on Theodore Roosevelt at his home in Oyster Bay, Long Island. The president met with them with his coat off and his sleeves rolled up. Teddy Roosevelt. Who in here loves that thought of that picture? Oh, yeah, Teddy Roosevelt. He's a man, ain't he? He said, "Oh, gentlemen." Imagine that's how he talked. "Come on down to the barn and we'll talk while I do some work." Gotta love that. At the barn, Roosevelt picked up his pitchfork and looked around for the hay, and then he called out, "John, John, where's the hay at?" John called down from the loft, "Sorry, sir, I haven't had time to toss it back down when you pitched it up for when the Iowa folks were here." I'll let that sink in for a moment. He was putting on a coat of paint. He wanted the world to see him the way he wanted them to see him. See, everyone here is guilty. But what is here is being saved. We see those faults, and then we see the salvation. We get the reality of the truth. Yes, I fall miles short of that glory. I don't even like to look at it sometimes. But in that glory, in that blood-stained body, in that thorned head, in those crying words, in those moments, he taught me to be inside, not outside. See, I know what my outside looks like. I am cut from the same granite as Apollo, as Hercules, as some of the Greek gods and the... Why are you all laughing? My wife says I'm cut from granite. Well, at least my head is. But the inside, the ability to let yourself go and be who you are and let them faults fall out and fall down in front of the Savior and show other people who you are. Heart on your sleeve right there. Well, Paul, writing it to the Corinthians in the 4th chapter, had these words to say, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." That's salvation. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Many times you can coach yourself. It don't matter if the inside's decayed. If the inside's decayed and the outside looks a little ratty, okay. I would rather have a conversation with that person who says, "Hi, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is my flaws. I know Jesus Christ. I talk to him all the time. The Holy Spirit helps me get through every day with this. And he can do the same for you." That's the coat of paint you want. to help somebody else start cleaning up. We are constantly reminded that the painting on the outside is what is important in this world. Look at all them commercials for mascara and makeup, and the one that I really wish I could have done early on, that no gray beard for men. I talked about putting that on here a couple weeks ago, and Wendy looked at me and she goes, "Are you nuts?" She goes, "I already know your beard's gray. You walk in with a brown beard, they're going to know what went on." And I said, and I quote, "Maybe they won't notice." The outside is the outside. The inside is what matters. Brothers and sisters, don't fall prey to all the tripe that is out there. Put yourself in the Word of Jesus Christ and remind yourself you're being renewed every day. And when those that come around you that would seek to lead you astray, be ready to talk to those being led the wrong way. And imagine what that final coat of paint will look like in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We pray that you would lift us up at this time, Father, that you would give it over to us and remind us of who we are and what we are not. And walk with us daily, Father, please. Let us not build fences up to keep the world out. Let us be within the world so that we may shine and lead those who are stuck away. Thank you, Father, for this message, for this glory, for this beauty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.